Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And we're off and running on a getaway Friday night, January the 15th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears, Angie Evers, back with you on a Friday night. And, you know, radio is an interesting medium, much like television. You try to plan things, and I'm not telling people what we're trying to plan here, because at this point, it might not come off. But things are funny. Let's put it that way.
They are funny.
But they'll work themselves out.
Yes, everything always works itself out.
You know, I've never known things not to, which is a good thing. Usually in the end, it all kind of shakes out.
Oh, yeah. In about every situation.
I mean, I've never had a, you know, well, I was going to mention earlier co-hosts that I've had over the years. Some are miserable, you know, but you don't say that. But I have always said that one day, because I think writing a book is good. Not necessarily. I think most people, when they say write a book, they think like writing a book for the marketplace. I'm not talking about writing a book for the marketplace. I'm talking about writing a book. Maybe they'll keep it at the Historical Society. Or you could give it to your family. You know, just to know. I think everybody should do this, though. Everybody should write a book about what they experienced in their life and what they really thought about people. Because I don't think people really know. Have you ever noticed when people die, people say, well, I think they thought this, and I think they did this, and I remember them talking about, but you don't really know, because nobody sits down and actually writes it out. See, I want to write it out.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you want people to know what you really thought about them?
I mean, if I'm dead, I don't care.
If you're dead, you don't care.
No!
Don't you think maybe in some situations their feelings would be hurt, and then be like, gosh, I thought he really liked me, and he really thought this about me?
See, I don't know if I'd really worry about that if I was dead.
Oh.
See, I think an honest book is far more interesting. If you just write a book and you love everybody, well, who cares? Who wants to read that?
But I don't think I would want to leave and have people think one thing when they were here, and then after I died, then they find out something else? That would be weird. I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, I don't know. Because there are some things that I would like to say now, but I don't say them because, again, you don't want to... it's not so much about offend in my mind. It's more about they're still living. And if I'm living and they're living and they found out how I really felt about something, they might not take that very well. I guess if they were dead, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. I think that would probably be better. Maybe if the other person was dead.
Well, it's funny because if somebody asks me something about radio off the air, because I was lucky enough to get to work with a lot of people, some well-known and some not so well-known. And if you ask me off the air, honestly, I'll probably tell you what I thought of the person. But I wouldn't do it on the air at this point, because if they're still living, I really don't want to... I don't want to seem bitter toward them. And then if they're dead, I don't want to... while I'm still here... You're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. I'm not really sure why that's a thing, why you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. But I think that's the best time to speak about them. They can't really talk back. But, you know, you just don't do it, I guess. But if people knew a lot of what I knew that went on behind when the microphones were off. I always thought that would be the great title for a book. During the break.
Yeah.
Because that's when it all happens. That's when the temper tantrums happens. That's when you find the real person.
Right.
And boy, have I known some phonies. What they projected on the airwave was not who they were at all.
Right.
You know, I'll give you an example so people can understand what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to say the name, because this is one of those instances where you don't want to smash the person because people will know who I'm talking about. Well, some people would. But we had a very well-known broadcaster on this station for a period of time, doing regular shows, and it was a person who was beloved. People loved to listen to him. They liked him a lot. But we had so much trouble with them. I remember one time during a commercial break, we broke, and as soon as the person knew the microphone was turned down, stood up, and they said something, trying to remember exactly what they said. Something about, you think you're always right. And then they stormed off into another room. Now, they wouldn't have that outburst on the air, but that's what happened during the break. And this person was not very good electronic-wise, so they usually had to have somebody in the building with them, helping them run things. And people ended up refusing to work with them because they found them so rude. During the breaks.
Right.
So that's something. And people would know who I'm talking about if I actually said their name. But I don't want to do that because they project this different image on the air. But I know the truth. I've seen the real person.
I think that's life in general. I think people pretend to be people they're not.
But broadcasting's different. Like if you work at Subway... If you are a jerk in life, you probably have a sour personality making people subs. But for this business, people have to like you at some point, or they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
And if you act like this person acted during the break, people aren't going to listen to you.
But you would never know that, like, on the air.
Right, and that's the difference. There are very few jobs where people have to like you. And broadcasting is one of those jobs. And this person was also, and I can't even tell the story because it will tell who the person was or at least give people a good idea. But there was something this person was so sensitive about. So sensitive. And you would never know it if you just listened to them. But I knew they were sensitive about it. And they brought it up quite a bit. So, yeah. It's interesting.
Wow.
It's unfortunate in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I wish that wasn't the case.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess not everybody's like that. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird. I mean, I think a lot of people are just... people just put on a show.
You think people are putting on a show?
No, I think some people do. Just like when you get into like marriages and stuff like that. People like give you a good show. Like in the beginning. And then once they're like... moved in, then they turn into this completely different person. Like, once you get to know somebody. I don't know.
Well, I think all marriages are a show.
Yeah.
To some degree. And I think that's unfortunate, but I think it is true.
Oh, Nally's saying we can't hear me. We can't hear.
I hear you. Radio's on in there. Can they hear you now?
Can you hear me now? She was calling me.
I think we're good now, because I hear it now.
Okay.
There might have been a dropout. We've had dropouts this week. I think they're working on the lines down here. The internet lines.
Could be.
Well, if it happens again, let us know. But I hear us right now on the radio. So I think we're okay.
I guess I didn't notice if it went out or not. I wasn't paying attention.
Right, we're good now. But yeah, people are phony.
Yeah.
Most people are when you meet them. Everybody to some degree. When you first meet them, you're not going to show your worst side. Everybody's got a bad side. It's just how bad is your bad side?
Some people's bad sides are worse than others.
Right, but nobody is going to show that when they first meet you.
No. Especially somebody needy.
Well, I think people, you get a good receptor after a while, who is genuine and who is not. I think that's true.
Yeah. I think so.
And, but there are, it's funny because most of the people, it's always weird to me because when you're on the air, people feel in a way like they know you. And in a lot of cases, they do. Because usually, like, I don't think, now somebody could contradict me on this, but I don't think that I'm any different on air than I am off air. I don't think there's any show.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think there is. But maybe somebody else would feel differently. But I know that with this person who I'm thinking of, there was a show. And a lot of people are like that.
Right.
Like that, and there are things that people have told me during the break. They'll always wait for the break to say something, you know, that they don't want on the air. And that's why I hate talking to some. People can never understand why I don't want to call and book guests or I don't want to talk to the person before we go on the air. It's because that gives them a chance to say, don't ask me about or let's not talk about. I don't want to have that conversation.
Because you want to be able to ask them.
Right. And also, if we have, let's say I call you to book you on the show and we're having this great conversation about whatever, I'd much rather have that on the air than just in a private conversation. Right. And I can't, you know, it's hard to just call somebody and say, will you be on the show? Okay, Wednesday, 3 o'clock? Okay, bye, talk to you then. And slam the phone down. You can't do that. So I don't want to leave it on the telephone. I want to have it here. And that's why I don't like to book the guests.
Right. I guess that makes sense. But you do so good, though. I mean, you've had a big week.
It was a fun week. Gary Burbank got a lot of attention. Dr. Yulin got a lot of attention. Mary Ellen came in and I thought gave a great interview. Kai Mead was on and I thought updated us on the city pretty good. Dr. Feynman was on. I thought he did a good job of discussing the political world. David Newell this morning, remembering Mrs. Rogers, who just died yesterday. Yeah, I thought it was a good week.
Yeah.
Larry Merchant today. And next week's going to be huge, and I'm not telling anybody yet because I don't want to jinx. But I know there's a big local guest. We've got a big inauguration day planned. Big guest that morning. And then the day after, we have our normal visit with Heloise on the 21st.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be a big week. And hopefully we'll add to that as time goes on.
So, you didn't talk to Tracy, did you? Have you talked to her?
No, not, she's scheduled Tuesday.
Oh. Okay. I think it would be interesting to hear what she has to say about all the vaccines and...
Have you ever known a phony, though? I think this is an interesting topic. Has anybody out there in the listener land ever known a phony? Somebody who, you know, politicians do this. That's another thing I could say. There are some politicians that I've known who were really not the nicest people in the world, but they were a little showy with other people.
There's a lot of people out there like that.
But then there's some who are exactly, you know, and I would like to say that too, who are the genuine people. you know, who were... Mary Ellen Withrow is the same on air as off air.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I remember when she first moved back here, and to this day, occasionally, people are afraid to approach her because she had such national recognition. And they don't want to walk up to her and say, sign my dollar bill, or you know, strike up a conversation with her, because they feel that she's, you know, people get nervous around people like that.
Right.
And she could not be more down to earth. I mean, I've been to parties at her house. She's been to the Christmas party here. I've interviewed her a bazillion times. She did a game show with me and Buckeye Guy once. She is always just, there is no, I've never seen a different side of her. I've never seen.
She is who she is.
She is who she is. And you've been here. She was here on election night. You
right.
saw her during the breaks.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you pick up a hint, a change of
None.
Attitude?
None. Right. Yeah.
You know, so she's one who is not phony, but there are some who are.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I think that's why she went as far as she did.
Yeah. She's a nice lady. And she's very sharp. Like, I mean,
well,
she knows her stuff.
Well, there's somebody 90 who life hasn't slowed her down.
No, not at all.
Which is good.
Yeah.
She was here Tuesday.
Right.
She said a lot of people ask her if she still drives. And she does. It's funny how people start to ask that when you get up. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah. If you're capable of doing it, do it.
But I think age depresses some people. You know, a lot of people talk about age a lot. And a lot of people, I think, are fearful of death. I've never heard Mary Ellen talk about her age, except the fact that she said every time they write about her, they put it in the story. But I've never heard her say, you know, I'm not going to make it to this age or anything like that. I've never seen that.
Right. I don't know. I'm kind of age right now. I don't know. Because I'm going to be a big number here next week. And I'm not, I don't know. Just to look at it, like my mom has it wrote on the calendar. And I'm like, oh, mom, I don't like that. Like, I do not like to look at that number on the calendar. Because, I don't know. It's like you're not young and you're not old. You're, I don't know, I guess I'm like middle-aged. Is that what you call?
I think it is middle-aged. Now, Glenn Coble would disagree with me. Because every time I have Abby and Michelle on, he calls them young women. I say they are not young women. They're middle-aged. Unless they're going to live to be 100.
Right.
You know, I don't
I mean,
get
we're
that.
All around the same age.
Right. They're older.
But, yeah.
Elderly. I think of them as the old women when I have them in here.
Are they the same age?
You know, I don't know, to be honest with you. I really don't know. I mean, I kind of know
I
how...
I mean, I know how old Abby is, but I don't know about Michelle.
I don't know how old they are. I know about how old they are. I know in the age range that they are.
Huh. Okay.
But I don't really know. I've never thought about it.
Hmm.
I'm sure they've said... But you know what? Everybody always says, oh, you don't look your age. Well, what? That's what you look like at your age. You do look your age.
Well, I have people tell me all the time that, what? You have a 20-year-old? I said, yes, I do.
Now, so, does that make you feel good, though?
It makes me feel a little old. I mean, he's almost 21.
Well, that's age appropriate, though.
So, right. I mean, I was definitely old enough to have them, and, you know, so.
You will not be an older grandparent.
oh, I'm going to be a young grandparent.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if my kids are listening right now or not, but hopefully I won't be a grandparent for a while.
Well, see, my parents had me. Well, my dad was, I think, 7 years older than my mom. So he would have been considered not an old parent, but he certainly wasn't a young parent when he had me. And then he certainly was older when my brother came along.
Right.
But my mom was not, she wasn't super young, but she wasn't middle-aged either. So I guess she's more of a, I don't know if she's an old grandparent or not. I'm trying to figure this out now because I don't have any kids. I guess if maybe I would have had kids at the normal time, she would have been a younger grandparent.
Right.
But when my brother had kids, I'm trying to think of how old she would have been. She wasn't that old when she first became. Now, she was in some terms, I guess. See, but I had, this is weird to think about, because I had younger grandparents, because my parents were not old when they had me, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they were not old when they had my, it's interesting when I think about it now, like my mom was my grandparents' oldest child, and I'm my mom's oldest child. So when you do it that way, your grandparents don't end up being all that much older than you.
Yeah. I mean, my grandparents were older. But, I mean, my dad was, I just seen my birth certificate. My dad was 46 when I was born. And my mom was 39, almost 40.
Now, see, when that would have been about the age of my grandparents.
Right.
When I was born.
Right. So, but, you know.
But your dad also wasn't your grandparents' oldest child. Because I think his sister was older than him.
Yeah, she was, like, I think 4 years older than him.
Right. So that would have made them older.
Right.
And then he was older when he had you. Because you, and you're not the oldest.
Nope, I'm the baby.
So that creates older grandparents.
Right. And I think, well, I mean, I'm not even to the age yet when my dad had me. Like, I'm not even that old yet.
See, I would be an old parent now. Because I've never had any kids. I can't wind that back now.
Well, I mean, we all have our, you know, different ways of life. And I think it all works out.
I don't think I regret it.
No.
No.
You've accomplished a lot in your life.
I don't know about that.
I think you have.
But you know why I don't regret it? And partially one of the reasons I would not want to have kids is I had a good relationship with all my grandparents. I knew them well. They lived, I mean, I don't think any of them died till I was in my 30s. So I knew them all well. And the majority of them died when I was in my late 30s. So, you know, I, and none of them had dementia or, I mean, they were there. They weren't ill people.
Yeah.
So I had a, not only did I have a childhood with them, not only did they go to my high school graduations and my college graduations, I mean, they were there when I went into workforce and they heard me on the radio and they went to things I was doing and, you know, they were at my 30th birthday party. They were around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would, if I had a kid, my parents would not be around to see my child's, my children would not know them.
Right. Well, and I think, well, if I, like, if I was my mom, like, I'd be having me right now. And I just think, well, shoot, mom's the only one really left. There wouldn't be any, like, grandparents around.
Well, it depends on who you married. Because their parents, or who you had the baby with.
Oh, yeah.
Because their parents right. would be the grandparents.
I guess I was just thinking about my family. One-sided.
One-sided. But, I mean, you know, you think about that sometimes.
Yeah. But it's hard. Like, I mean, my mom and my dad were always big helps, you know. So not having, you know, that help, I can't imagine, you know, I would really have no help unless the other person's parents helped. I don't know. It's hard when you don't have help raising a child.
You know what's funny to me? I remember my grandmother, who had 5 kids of her own, and then I'm trying to think of how many grandkids there were from her 5 kids. But there were a lot of grandkids, and she always babysat, and she always, you know, did all that with us. Mm-hmm. And I was particularly close with her. And I remember then she had great grandkids. And she did babysit some of the older ones. And then I remember she got to an age, and somebody asked her to babysit one time, and she told them no. And I couldn't believe this, because she was the most child-oriented person I ever knew. You know, she had 5 kids, and she babysat all of us, and she even babysat some of the older great-grandkids. And I asked her, I said, well, why would you say no? I mean, you've been around kids all your life. You know, what's going on? And she said, at that age, she just couldn't cope anymore. That it made her too nervous. Because she felt like a baby crying was getting on her nerves at that age.
Yeah.
And also that she would be afraid that she would fall asleep or something. I guess just a paranoia of age.
Right. That makes sense.
More of a precautionary thing, but she said she would not want to babysit a baby. Now, she said if it was a toddler, she might do it, but not a baby.
Yeah. That's completely understandable. Yeah.
But it was so shocking to me, because I never saw her take care of her own kids, but she did, obviously. And then she took care of all of us grandkids, always babysat, and loved to hold babies and all that. But there just became an age.
Right.
Where she was not into that anymore.
Right. I think you probably just, I don't know, get tired of it. I don't know.
There's certain ages where you probably shouldn't ask your parents to babysit babies anymore. Because parents might have a hard time turning you down. They might feel bad saying right. no. But you got to look at people's age sometimes and say, well, I don't know if they have the energy to do that anymore.
Yeah. I know there was times I think, like, my sister would take her youngest, like, to my parents' house, but my dad did not change diapers.
Ever.
Ever.
Even yours.
I'm pretty sure my mom, I think, did it all. But, you know, I think they would have to hurry if they left, you know, him there at any point, and if my mom wasn't there, they'd have to hurry before he, like, had a poopy diaper or something.
Well, I was, because he was still around.
Right.
In his 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Was he still up to babysitting the little kids?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think my mom would do more, like, you know, because the grandkids are always like, Grandma, get me this. Grandma, get me that. You know.
And so, she was quite a bit younger than him.
Yeah. Like 6-7 years younger. Maybe. Anyway. But, like, I think it was just always harder for my mom, just because she does whatever the kids want to do. Because everybody loves going to grandma's, even the dogs.
Well, there you go.
They all love grandma. But, I mean, dad had fun with the kids, too. He would do a lot of stuff with the kids, but I think, you know, my mom always took care of them. You know what I mean? So, dad was there to be the funny one and, you know, do fun little things.
Did you notice, this is because I've noticed this as time, did you notice him becoming less hands-on than he was with you as a child, as maybe he would have been with your kids or your sister's kids who are younger than your kids?
Like, well, yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, he still did a lot with the kids. And I mean, and, you know, he made the grandkids like toolboxes.
Well, like, I still have a grandparent alive, and trust me, he ain't babysitting at this point.
No,
that has passed him by.
Yeah. So, but Dad was always, I mean, he liked to go out and do things. He didn't like to just sit. So, he was a go-getter until he couldn't go. Which was really, you know, just right before he died, really. But
see, I'm going to quit soon.
You say that.
Well, I think I could do it, though. I just have a different perspective on this whole thing. I think you do it, you have fun doing it, but I have a lot of other interests that I would like to do. And I think sometimes this takes up too much time. And I don't get to those other things.
I mean, would you say what other things you want to do?
Not travel. I would not be a good traveler. Like, shit. I mean, I could take a cruise. I could go to, you know, a foreign country. I would do it, but I don't think I'd have a great desire to do it. But I would be curious. You know, I'm just curious about everything. But a trip down to the corner store is curious to me.
Right.
You know, so that would be what I think sometimes I'm missing out on. That I'm not, you know, everything to me now I think story. And I think I still would do it, but it wouldn't be so story driven. It wouldn't be, I'm doing this, and I need to remember this because I'm going to relay it.
You would just do things to enjoy it.
Just do it to enjoy it.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to enjoy in Ohio without even having to travel.
Well, I mean, it's the travel part doesn't even bother me. I love going to New York. But see, New York always had a twinge of work. You know, even though we went down and did Rockefeller Center and the Rainbow Room, what did we do during the day? Interviewed people. And sent the interviews back here. You know, I went to Cape Cod, and what was I doing there? I was interviewing. Pittsburgh. You know, I went there, and it was a great time. But I met the Mr. Rod what's the oldest television station, public television station? Oh, how did I forget that? But I'm at the television station, interviewing people.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend a lot of time waiting when you're doing that. Waiting for the show to start, waiting to get on the air. WQEL, I think, is what it was. But, you know, and to the World Series and to the Republican Convention. I went, but I was working. You're lining up guests. You're getting on the air. You're not sitting there with a hot dog watching the game. So I think about that sometimes. I think, you know, sometimes it would just be fun to just
not work.
To just go.
Right. It'll happen. Don't worry.
Well, that's why I could leave.
It will happen.
I could leave and be perfectly happy. But I would never tell people I was leaving.
No.
No. I don't like goodbyes.
You would just...
I would be there on a Friday, and I would be gone on Monday, and that would be that. I mean, I would alert people internally that I was not going to be there anymore. But I don't... I don't need... people to say, I don't like big goodbyes. I don't like that. I don't like goodbye parties. I don't like, I think that's weird in a way, to be celebrated that you're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, I just hope people remember that I was here for a period of time, and maybe it was fun some days, other days it was not, and we got through some times.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think you deserve to go somewhere and not work.
Well, I'll tell you, some of the co-hosts I've had, it was even more work just showing up to sit in a room with them for 2 or 3 hours. There are some people who I've had great fun. Oh, I know what I was going to say that I didn't get to say. I've never really had what I would call... See, when you do this and people listen to you, they think you're really close. Because you take a lot of pictures together, because it's publicity, and you're on the air, and you kid around with each other, and hopefully you do have a good chemistry. And people think you're really tight, and that you're friends. And you know what? Most of the time, you're not. You know, you work together. I mean, you show up and you work together, but it's not a friendship. And I've found that people don't assume that in other jobs. In other jobs I've been, people don't... As a matter of fact, they go out of their way to say, you know, that's my coworker. It's not my friend. But in this, they think you're friends. I don't know why. But very rarely are you friends. You like each other. You're friendly. But you don't go to each other's house.
Yeah.
You don't go out together. Because you spend a lot of time with each other doing this.
Talking.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you call it a friendship, I guess. But it's not what most people think is a friendship. You know, it's not getting families together. It's not going out to eat. It's not going over to each other's house. You know, that happens very rarely.
Yeah.
And there are some people's houses I would have never wanted to go over, even if I had been invited.
Well, good thing you weren't invited then.
That's a good thing I wasn't, because that would have been bad. Then I'd had to be phony. But boy, there I just think now, I'm starting to think more of the doozies who I've had to work with over the years who were really, you know, you had to pretend on the air that they weren't really terrible as they were.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't you think, though, that's, like, every job? Don't you feel like there's people that you would prefer not to work with?
Yeah, but in other jobs, I've hit it less. I mean, if I'm working with somebody at another place, like teaching... If I don't like somebody I'm working with, I can go to somebody and I don't like them. I don't want to work with them anymore. You know, you can do that. This is a little different. You know, what are you going to do? Say, this person is no longer on the show because I can't stand them.
Well, I don't know about that.
I just think people disappear.
Just poof.
People know when they're no longer here. That they're not really all that needed anymore. But this sounds bad, because I'm only talking about the bad. There are people who I really have had good relationships with, you know, in this, who I probably would be considered a friend with, and had a lot of fun with.
Oh, yeah.
But not all. It's more the exception to the rule than the rule.
Yeah, people probably wouldn't assume that.
But, you know, I don't... But you would... See, it's interesting because you can hide dislike. Like, if I did not like somebody, you would not know it. I would not say rude things about them. But it's harder to hide if you like somebody. If you like somebody, you can't hide that. Because you're just more effusive as a person.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to hide if you like a guest. Guests are like that. You know if I like a guest.
Like Ashley Williams?
Ashley Williams. There is no doubt in this world that I love Ashley Williams as a guest. And I think it comes through when I talk to her. I don't even think I have to say it. I think you can just tell that I like her. But if I don't like somebody, you won't know it. I can hide that. And there are people who I've had on who I don't like. But I'll save that for the book.
I wonder what you'll say about me in the book.
You're great.
Okay. We'll see.
Well, shoot out I'll give you an opinion. Shoot out a name of anybody. You can shoot out a local person. You can shoot out a guest who's been on the show. I'll tell you my honest opinion.
Oh, no. I don't know about that.
I wouldn't?
No, I'm sure you would, but... Mr. McFeely.
Good guy in person. Easy to be around. Very nice. I went out and had dinner with him when he was here one time. We went out to, I think Ryan's was still open then. We went out and had dinner and had a good conversation. I like him.
Okay. What about Natalie?
Oh, I like her.
Yeah.
I like her a lot. I don't know if she knows how much I like her. I like that she's involved in a lot of stuff. And she's got a lot of talent. And I admire talent. If somebody's got a talent, and I think they have a talent, I admire that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's very cool. Because I don't have a talent. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't play an instrument. I don't got that. So anybody who can do those things well, I admire.
Yeah.
And I like.
That's good. I like that.
Anybody else?
No. Nobody else.
You know what the other thing people always ask, though, is, and they'll even ask me, they'll say, do those two people get along? Especially on the Friday show, where we've had arguments. Because that show now has been on for 11, 12 years with different groups. And people always say, they really don't like each other, do they? That's what they'll walk up and they'll go, they really don't like each other, do they? And I'll say, I've never known a personal grudge on that Friday show. Even when people disagreed, when it's over, it's over. When the microphones go off, we just don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
It goes on to something else. It was funny because obviously your dad was on that show with me for 10 years. And for a long time, people thought he and Marianne Michaels did not get along because they had differing, like, about women's looks when your dad would say, and she would chastise him and, oh, Charlie, you know. And people thought they didn't get along. They got along very well. We showed up and did that show together for the three of us for 8 years. You can't do that every week if you don't like the people.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people thought he didn't get along with Brandy when she was on the show because they used to get into some very political arguments. But they did. When the show stopped, they would be talking about gardening. You know, it was totally, it was different. It's a show. Yeah. Not that they weren't honest. Not that the disagreements didn't happen. They did. But they don't carry off the air.
Yeah.
You know?
It's too bad that, like, people can't do that now. Like, with everything going on in the world today.
Apparently somebody wants to submit a name that I want. Okay, well, give me the name and I'll give you an honest opinion. Go ahead. What's the name? I'll shoot it out there. But, you know, that's... I'm trying to think of other people who they thought had friction on that show. I can't think of... But I remember those being the two that people said, well, they don't really get along, do they? They always... Yes, they got along.
Yeah.
Always did. I wouldn't want to be there with two people who didn't get along every week. That would be very awkward.
It would be awkward. And I don't think it would last.
But I think your dad sometimes liked to say things to get people.
I'm sure he did.
I remember the last Christmas party, and people can go listen to it online. Mary Ellen came in that night, and he was saying things about women needed to be back in the kitchen, and I don't think she cared for that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but nobody took it personally. It's just, I don't know that he felt that way, but I think he said that night.
I'm sure
he was wound up that night. You know, and when I go back and listen to that last Christmas party, I don't know what was in him that night, but he was wound up. Christmas party of 2019. He was just...
What, did he have some, what is that stuff called? Jaeger?
I don't know. It was always at night. He came with your mom. He always came with your mom to the Christmas party. Now, he got drunk the day before Christmas on his show. That's continued. But, no, the Christmas party, I never noticed him the previous 5 years ever. But, boy, that last year, he was just... He was wound. I remember even I tried to get him to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and he was talking about, well, how does Santa get down a house with no chimney? And it was just, I said, I think I even said to him at one point, what did you drink before you came here?
Huh.
Well, apparently, they're asking the mayor. I don't know which mayor you're talking about. Are you talking... Because I had and have had a good relationship with Jack Kellogg, and I've had a good relationship with Mayor Schertzer. Now, are you asking me what I think of them personally? Well, you're going to have to wait for the book. Say the name. I'm not saying they're bad or good. I'm just, you know... You know, they... When you're doing a job, I think sometimes that's more difficult.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anybody... I don't know that I've ever really disliked somebody who I've worked with. I've disliked guests, but I don't know about people I've worked with.
I can name one you disliked.
Who?
Jimmy Crumb.
Oh, Jimmy Crumb. Oh, my God. The worst man who ever lived. And I hate that he is the worst man who... And I know people love him. But he was awful the night I spent with him. Awful. Awful guy. You know, good broadcaster, but an awful guy. Just not a nice man. Okay. Well, if I don't get the answer, I can't... If I don't get the question, I can't get the answer. But in most cases, I do try to be honest. But Jimmy Crumb's dead. So I can tell everybody that he was just miserable. God bless his heart. This show tonight is dedicated to the memory of Jimmy Crumb. As miserable as it was. But there are some other Columbus personalities that... Woo. Woo. Because I got to work with a lot of them. I got to work with Flippo. I got to work with Fritz the Night Owl. I got to work with Doug Adair. I got to work with Colleen Marshall. I got to work with Bob Nunley. Got to work with Jim Ganahl, Ben Gelber, and I can tell you who the ones who are genuinely nice people and the ones who are... Joe Holbrook. Got to work with Joe Holbrook. Some were okay and some were not. Some I would just as soon forget. Marshall McPeak. Interesting. But this has been fun. You think?
Always.
And I'm going to head for the dugout, which is not a pizza place, by the way. Well, it is a pizza place, but that's not why I'm saying
it. It is a good pizza place.
I'm heading for the baseball dugout. Everybody, next week's inauguration week. Get down, batting down the hatches. Inauguration morning, we have got a great guest lined up for 2 hours live in the studio. Don't miss that for love nor money. Stay tuned.
Realized my call was for later and everything. Then I sat down and his wife came up to me and she says to me, Shecky, I'm everybody's wife. And they had just gotten married, by the way. And she's a beautiful girl. And she said to me, would you like a cup of coffee? I said, I would love it. Thank you. And he says, listen, I went to tell you, don't talk to my wife. That's my wife. I went on the one talk to my wife again. That's my wife. And I'm going...